So her sister, they found she has stage 2 cancer. And so Tonda is out there this weekend. And she's at Elliott Road Baptist Church today. She didn't know that Evangelist Gary Gilmore is there today. So I was just talking to him yesterday, and he told me where he was. And I says, guess who'll be there tomorrow? Well, so anyway, today. All right, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 17. Actually, chapter 20. We are supposed to have a handout coming. I'm not sure when it's coming, but it is coming. Acts chapter 20, of course, is a great passage of Scripture. And Paul is rehearsing his ministry among the Ephesians. And we come to a very important verse in verse 21. Of course, he says in verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Then he gives this phrase as a kind of a summary of his ministry, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he summarizes his message of the gospel in this passage of Scripture. And he summarizes it by saying that he preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we want to look at the Bible today, and we would like to take some time and look at what the New Testament says about repentance. Couple preliminary questions. What does salvation look like without that has no repentance? Don't answer the question. You're supposed to think about it. What does salvation look like that has no repentance? Let me make another statement. How dangerous it is to say to a little child, just ask Jesus into your heart. How dangerous is that? Or how accurate is that? Okay, so let's go to, first of all, let's go to Luke chapter number 13. In our high school Bible class, I've been, last couple weeks, been talking about repentance. And it seems that some light bulbs have been turning on. And so I felt like, you know, maybe this is something that we need to really spend some time on rather than just talking about it once in a while. We really need to investigate what the Bible says and kind of let it sink in. Okay, Luke chapter 13, verse number 3. Of course, we know that verse. And, of course, the context Pilate had killed a bunch of Galileans who were worshiping God, and they asked Jesus, verse 2, it says, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things. And he said, no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They were inferring, you know, these people should have repented. And, of course, he comes back with basically a statement of universality. Except everyone repents, they will all perish. And, of course, he goes upon another incident, verse 4. Or these 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell. Here's a tower in Siloam. I don't know how tall it was, but it fell upon a bunch of people. It was quite a catastrophe. And they're saying, do you think that they were sinners above all the rest of the people that such a thing happened to them? And he said, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So the question is from this verse, is repentance necessary for salvation? Is repentance necessary for salvation? Yes. Okay. Of course, he doesn't use the word salvation, but he uses the opposite word, right? What's the opposite of salvation? Perish, right? So he doesn't use the word salvation, but he uses the opposite word. He says, except you repent, ye shall all what? Perish. All right? Now, we would say to a person, you know, except you get saved, you will what? You'll go to hell. Okay? What did Jesus say? Except you what? Repent, ye will go to hell. Okay? So, let's go to the major preachers in the Bible. And let's see the major preachers in the New Testament and see what they preached. So, Matthew chapter 3, let's turn there. Matthew 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? So we're going to look at the four major preachers in the New Testament. We're going to look at John the Baptist. We're going to look at Paul. We're going to look at Peter. And we're going to look at Jesus. And we're going to see what they preached. Well, John the Baptist preached what? Repentance. Okay? So, let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 2, excuse me, it's chapter 3, so your note is wrong there. Oh no, it's right. My memory is wrong. Okay, Second Peter, chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. All should come to what? Repentance. All should come to repentance. Okay? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Here's Paul preaching, Acts 17. And verse number 30. Here he is preaching at Athens. And he says this. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So this is obviously telling us a pretty universal message. All men everywhere. That doesn't exclude anybody, does it? All men everywhere to repent. Okay, so there's Apostle Paul. Of course, we looked at Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. We just read that. The Apostle Paul summarizing his ministry. And in his ministry, reading that verse again, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So, turn to Acts 13 again. Well, we could go there. We could also go to Mark 1. We already looked at Luke 13. Mark chapter 1.
Pastor, going back, what does it mean that God winked?
It refers to the fact that before Calvary, God covered their sins through the coming of Christ, through his coming sacrifice. But now that it's done,
but that was the sacrifice of the
animals. Yes. Mm-hmm. Looking at Christ through them. Okay. Mark 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. All right, so here we have a pretty universal picture in the scriptures, repent. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. Peter preached repentance. All right, now let's look at a number of places in the Bible where repentance is, maybe that's not a right word to use, but it's close. Repentance is used synonymously with salvation, or as the means of salvation in many places in the New Testament. In other words, we have all these places in the New Testament where repentance is used of the whole concept of the requirement of salvation, or what salvation is all about. Okay, so let's look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 10, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came, and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yeah, Matthew 9. Sorry. Matthew 9. Probably the other verses were pretty good too, but you can't go wrong. Wherever you go in the Bible, it's good. Okay. Matthew 9:12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so, it's the parallel. I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right? And so the whole message here, he's coming to save sinners. But what is he using as synonymous with that whole principle? He came to call sinners to what? Repentance. Came to call sinners to repentance. Okay, Matthew 11. Then he began to, verse 20, began to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, in it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Okay? Well, obviously, they're going to go to the judgment, and that speaks of the white throne judgment. They're going to go to the judgment because they're both lost. Cities of Tyre and Sidon and Chorazin, Bethsaida, they're lost. They're going to be condemned. But it said, but if Tyre and Sidon had seen these miracles that you've seen, what would they have done? They would have repented. They would have repented. In other words, they would have been saved. They wouldn't be at the judgment. And notice, again, he doesn't use the word salvation, and he doesn't use the word faith. Jesus uses the word what? Repentance, doesn't he? Yes. Yes, we will.
The issue becomes what is repentance, because there are those that make faith and repentance the same thing. They say that repentance is nothing but a transfer of defects. And that's being taught.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not sufficient. And I point to 2 Corinthians, passage
Now, we're going to take about 4 weeks on this.
Okay.
We're going to take 4 weeks, and we're trying to build a case here. Okay? But we may have to slip in a little bit of definition of repentance to get there. Again, so a casual reader reading the Bible, when he's saying repentance, well, a casual reader of the Bible is going to think repentance. You're going to think repentance. Just plain repentance. Okay? Okay, so let's keep going. Well, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, we could get on this one a long time, we talk about believer's baptism. Ever heard that phrase? Does that baptism bring you to belief? No. So the baptism of repentance isn't baptism that brings you to repentance. Okay? It's the baptism that marks repentance. Okay? Just like we use the phrase believer's baptism is baptism for believers. John's baptism of repentance was baptism for those who repented. Okay? All right? Now, it's interesting. I think in this very passage of Scripture, somewhere, it talks about his baptizing. And when they were baptized, they came to be baptized of him. What did they say? They said, "What shall we do?" It's interesting. They said, "What shall we do?" Well, they had repented, and now they're asking, "What shall we do?" And he told the publicans, "Don't exact any more than you're supposed to." He told the soldiers, "Do violence to no man." They wanted to know, now that they had repented, they wanted to know what they should be doing. Okay? Well, that's kind of interesting. Okay? So, repentance in that situation isn't reformation. Repentance took place first. Okay? Let's turn to Luke 15. I'm sure everybody's keeping that thinking now. Okay, give us a definition of baptism. Let's forget about this. Let's go to the definition. Okay, Luke 15. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now remember, he didn't use the word faith, and he didn't use the word salvation, did he? But we know he's talking about salvation. And we know that salvation includes faith, but he didn't use either one of those words. And what is he talking about? Repentance. Okay? Now, just to make the mental note with you. This is what we're talking about. All the great preachers in the Bible talked about necessity of repentance. Now, we have in the Gospels, in the Synoptic Gospels, where we're right now, we have over and over and over places where the word salvation isn't even used. And instead, the word repentance is used. Right? That's where we're at. The word salvation isn't even used. The word repentance is used. Okay? let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 45. And he said unto them, verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them that it is written, and thus behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Okay, so here's the Great Commission. He's saying, okay, now I want you to go into all the world and preach repentance and remission of sins. And so he's saying that's the summary of the gospel, of the Great Commission, right? Talks about the gospel, Christ died and rose again. Okay, now this is what I told you to do. I want you to go into all the world and preach repentance and remission of sins. Okay. Acts 3:19. Here's quite a verse. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Okay, now what is the message he's saying? That that Christ is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, and in ignorance you through wicked hands slew him, but this Jesus whom you have slain is both Lord and Christ. And he says, repent ye and be converted. Repent ye and be converted. So, simply, the answer of this verse is, in the question is, well, conversion is a result of repentance. Who does the converting? God. Who does the repenting? Man. Man does the repenting. God does the converting. Okay? Now, in the religious world, conversion is what to be converted Man is the one who does the converting. In the Bible, God does the converting. In Acts chapter 5, same, we're just going over the same thing over and over and over. And I'm sure there's many, many other verses we could look at. Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So, Christ rose to give repentance to Israel. Acts 11:18. Now, Acts 11, Paul is, Peter is rehearsing the conversion of Cornelius. Okay? And now he's before the apostles, the elders at Jerusalem, explaining why he went and had fellowship with a Gentile and why he baptized a Gentile. This is quite a big thing. And so he's explaining the whole thing. Their answer, after he explains to them, this is what they said. When they heard these things, that's the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Granted repentance unto life. Now, so here is the apostles, the elders, using that phrase, repentance unto life, speaking, we would say, well, he granted the Gentiles salvation. But the phraseology that they use is repentance unto salvation. Okay? We looked at these verses. Paul preached repentance both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. That is Acts 20, verse 21. You preach repentance both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Number three, there God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another verse that we looked at in 2 Peter 3:19. Okay. Now in number four there, repentance, couldn't read my writing, is accompanied with faith. Repentance is accompanied with faith. Okay, let's look to Acts 20. So the question, we're beginning the question, is repentance and faith the same thing? Is repentance and faith the same thing? Acts 20, he says in verse 20, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So what is he saying? He's saying repentance is toward who? God. And faith is toward who? Jesus Christ. He's distinguishing the two, isn't he? He's distinguishing the two. Now, I think we could say, by everything that we read so far in the Bible, because over and over, the Lord Jesus and the apostles and Paul, John the Baptist, they used repentance even without, in many cases, the mention of faith. Why would they do that? Huh? No. He said he preached repentance both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Okay, that's true, but in that context, how is he using the word repentance? He's actually using that in that context. He's using the word repentance as synonymous with salvation. Okay? And the issue was, can Gentiles be saved? Okay? And they're saying, the Jews were saying, no, they can't be saved. A Gentile can't be saved. They got to become a Jew before they can get saved. Okay? And in the context, the issue was, can Gentiles be saved? And they're saying, well, God saved Cornelius. Must be that he can grant repentance to the Gentiles. In that case, it's talking about salvation as a gift from God to the Gentiles, okay? That would be the right, correct interpretation of that passage of Scripture. Now, that's synonymous with repentance. Okay, Pastor Hatch?
Even those who are adamantly against the doctrine of Calvary admit that God has to do something before men were saved. That God's action has to proceed. And faith is a gift of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but in that particular case, it was really the real subject was salvation.
Yeah, but to
understand? Yes, I understand.
Suppose you take that and really attack that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to acknowledge that it all God's the originator of all.
And we're going to get to how does a person how do they get to repentance? Okay. But we aren't going to go there right now. Yes?
Repentance. True repentance is godly sorrow. That I may see my sins as God sees them. And when the Holy Spirit reveals that in his light here, I see my sins as they are. And then I come to God and ask him for forgiveness. The word repentance in modern days is not used. You just say, if you transgressed on somebody, say your sin. A lot of times you see that with mothers saying that to kids when they get something wrong against somebody. Say your sorrow. That's not repentance. It's the force of the mother forcing that kid to say that I'm sorry. But true repentance is godly sorrow that I see my sins as God sees it, and that hopefully that I may hate it.
Mm-hmm.
God hates sin.
Yep.
That's godly sorrow.
Yep. Okay. Karen?
See, we come in a conviction and we agree with God about what our sins are.
Okay. Why does the Bible say repentance toward God? Why does the Bible say repentance toward God? Tim? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. Now let's go to a couple. We're getting ahead of our lesson here. Right. Right. Now everybody wants to go to conclusion. I don't want to get there yet. That's the problem with Hollywood. A half hour, the worst problem in the world is solved. Hey, that your car is working today. Hey, man, that's great. I was teasing them this week that their car must not work on Sunday, but they proved to me it does. Yes, yeah, Steve. Aren't they still toward God?
Well, yes. But, and, you know, that's what when you say repent towards God because it starts right with God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is God? You say, here's a person, they say, well, Buddha's my God. This person says, Allah is my God, not the Allah of Arabic Bible, but Allah of Muslim Bible. They say, well, Allah is my God. Someone says, Caesar is my God. Or someone says, well, Jesus is my God. What does the word God mean? And I think the prophet Elijah, he said, if Baal be God, wait a minute. He says, why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, if Baal be God, then serve him. If the Lord be God, then serve him. What does the word God mean? Oh, no, but what does the word God mean? What does it mean, God? God. Ha! Yeah! How can God be God if he's not God? How can God be God if he's not God? Right? How could he be God if he's not God? What does God mean? Who is the God of your life? Okay, but what does God mean? That's the question here. Repentance toward who? God. The God of the Bible, the God of creation, but what does that word mean? Can you park here a minute? What does that word mean? God. You know, everybody said, okay, do the devils believe in God? Oh yeah, they tremble. They believe. But who is your God? What does that mean? Oh, really? The one you put on the throne. That's who God is. The one you put on the throne. You know, we have all these we have all this nebulous thinking in our mind. God. As though that means nothing. God. What does the word God mean? That's the big issue. Now we know we can say God, but what does the word God mean? Repentance toward God. Okay? Well, let's put it in some simple terms. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah 53. And we're almost up. We are up. We can't. Time is over. I'm sorry. We will be back next week. I'm going to give you a question. I want you to do some thinking. Okay? What is the verses we use for salvation? Tell me the common thought in all of them. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13, but whosoever, we'll go to Romans 10:9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Show me in all of those verses, where is repentance? Where is repentance in all of those verses? That's your assignment. It's the same in every one. Okay, let's pray. Father, pray that you'll bless as we look at and consider the important truths of the Word of God. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us break down walls of preconceived thinking, and we'll be able to find the truth in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.